Paul Opsomer in studio. We got a lot to talk about. But the first thing, by the way, good morning.
Good morning, sir. Thank you.
You cracked me up. You're looking for work soon, huh?
About 14 months I'll be looking for work. Yes, sir.
Well, I got a feeling your resume will get out there and someone will give you a holler. Let's talk about some legislation that you are involved with, and you want to remove roadbacks for local governments, specifically urban cooperation. Talk about that.
Thank you, Tony. Back when I was mayor of DeWitt, I worked with the DeWitt Township Supervisor Rick Lardy at combining services to become more efficient. The township actually surrounds the city of DeWitt. We felt that we could do things a lot more efficiently. And we were looking at maybe combining police departments. And we had a consultant tell us that, no, actually, it'll be more expensive if we combine police departments because of the Urban Cooperation Act, which directs from Lansing that everyone be raised to the highest level. So benefits, retirement, hourly pay, sick time, anything like that, everybody would get the highest of what the two contracts said, which actually then raised the cost of us doing business. So one of the campaign promises I made back in 2006 was to amend the Urban Cooperation Act to take out those mandates and allow local units of government to combine services at the bargaining table with the unions, but also in a way that they all felt it was fair.
Ooh, there's going to be a lot of folks not wanting to give up that power and prestige and their jobs because...
Well, and the good news is we've spent 4 years working with the police unions and the fire unions and the Michigan Municipal League, and it has been an awful lot of work, but we concurred with the Senate bills that came... They went from the House to the Senate. They made some adjustments. We concurred with that, and I think it's on its way to the governor's desk.
Why do you think we're so nervous about
change,
merging and change and things like that? And initially, we think, oh, I'm going to lose my job, and what, our community's not going to be served.
I don't really know. I've asked myself that question, too, because— Boy, in DeWitt, when we did a survey, I think we actually had 30 or 31% of the people actually respond to the survey in a very positive way. Oh, well, 31% actually responded, but then the majority of them was in a very, very positive way. And I think people would like to see that happen, but there is that always the fear of the unknown.
Mm-hmm. And so you expect the governor to sign this?
I would anticipate. He has been in favor of it, and he has pushed it from behind the scenes also.
All right. Infrastructure's your thing lately, isn't it?
We've talked about transit and the bridge to Canada and roads in general, so a lot of that.
Well, yeah. Let's talk about the bridge. If I had to bet you a cup of coffee, is there going to be a bridge built from Detroit to Windsor?
I think at some point in time you'll see a second span between Detroit and Windsor. Now, whether that's a publicly owned bridge or whether a privately built bridge remains to be seen.
Okay. I'm trying to find the downside in this, all right? So help me understand. If most of it, if not all the funds are going to come from Canada, if it's going to...
Not true.
That's not true.
That's not true.
Elaborate.
Well, what Canada has agreed to do is to loan Michigan $550 million for the plaza and then for the I-75 interchange work and the ramps to the bridge. What nobody has done yet is agreed to make what we call availability payments. Availability payments down the road, Tony, are those payments where tolls come to this amount of money, but expenses are up here. So that gap in between, nobody wants to talk about, and nobody has committed to paying.
Now, wait a minute. We've been led to believe that all the money's coming from Canada, not a dime from Michigan.
Well, the current bill that was defeated in the Senate did make it very clear that the voters of the state of Michigan or the taxpayers were not going to be on the dime for that bridge. The skepticism in Lansing is the number 56, 20, and 1. And that is 10 years down the road, we find the bridge is losing $50 to $80 million a year. All we have to do is get 56 people in the House, 20 in the Senate, and the governor to sign it. And then all of a sudden, we are on the tab. And actually, Senate Bill 411, the companion bill to 410, actually opened up direct access from public taxpayer transportation money to the bridge.
But
nobody talked about 411 because everybody's focused on 410. But Senate Bill 411 opened up direct access to Taxpayer Act 51 transportation money.
So what you're saying is that the $450 million...
$550
that is coming from Canada, are they giving us that for the on-ramp for both sides, or is that a loan?
That's a loan to the state of Michigan to be paid back by tolls, and that would be for our commitment that we would have to make for the plaza entrance to the bridge. Also, connecting I-75 directly to that plaza. Together, those two projects are about $550 million.
Okay, so we've got that money for both sides of the bridge. What about the bridge itself?
Well, in what we talked about Friday, I talked about was you've got that $550 that has to be paid back with tolls, $2.2 billion of bridge construction with tolls. You have operations and maintenance with tolls. Plus, you have the community benefits program to be paid back with tolls. Windsor wants a community benefits package to be paid back with tolls. Plus, you have the Michigan MDOT authority that can borrow money, incur cost, and sell bonds. That'll be paid back with tolls. You have Windsor authority that can borrow money, hire employees, sell bonds. That'll be paid back with tolls.
I'm getting a headache.
Plus, you have the joint authority that'll be created by MDOT and Windsor that can hire people, sell bonds, incur costs, borrow money, that'll be paid back by tolls.
Well, that sounds like there's no way we're going to get that much money back in tolls.
That's the problem and the skepticism that I've been talking about. And if you look at the Mackinac Bridge, it had none of that extra cost other than bond payments, operation, and maintenance. And within 12 months, they came back to the legislature and said, we can't make our payments. We need general fund money.
Okay, let's say I'm living in utopia and we do get the monies back in tolls. While we're building, where does that money come from?
That would be the money that would be the private investor who's actually building the bridge
right.
will sell $2.2 billion in bonds.
That's maroon.
No. That if it's the publicly owned bridge,
right.
Whoever they hire, the joint authority will hire a contractor to actually build a bridge, and they will sell, and they'll take that risk of selling the bonds and then building that part of it.
Okay. That's crazy.
Well, it's an interesting program. I think if people actually know the whole story, and then if you look at the current utilization of the Ambassador Bridge, and I don't talk to the Maroons about the numbers. I'll go to Customs where I can get, I'll say, independent numbers. Mm-hmm. But the current utilization is 40% of capacity for the Ambassador Bridge. So if you're going to start building another bridge, and the current bridge is only at 40%, it becomes difficult to see how we're going to pay all those bills with tolls from the new bridge.
Okay, so bottom line, that Ambassador Bridge needs to be repaired, right?
They've got three of the four lanes completely reconstructed or a new deck, and I think next summer they plan to do the fourth lane.
Now, and if we do get another bridge, we need to do everything we can to get them busy again, so that's where importing, exporting comes into play.
And there's a
play.
New port in Halifax, Canada, that there is the expectation or the hope that there'll be substantial amounts of new traffic coming in from there going through Detroit.
Okay, but what a lot of folks are concerned about, if we don't build that bridge in the Detroit area, someone else will near Ohio, near New York. Is that true?
They've been talking about building another bridge in the New York area now for 25 years, and they have the same problem we're having here.
Mm-hmm.
It's been open to debate, lots of questions. Okay. And to be fair, Tony, I think if you look at these large public building infrastructure projects, we're oftentimes told outstate, other areas, other states, that they'll make money. Historically, they never do. And that's not to be negative. It's just I think it would be better if somebody would say we expect tolls to pay 75% of the cost. Then let's talk about how we pay the rest. I think that'd be more realistic and more honest.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of information in the news about infrastructure. We've had farmers on who tell us that they would love to use the rail system more, but it's old. It's not user-friendly enough, and there's not enough train tracks on the ground. Do you agree with that?
Well, and part of the problem, and I've talked to a lot of the farmers, I've talked to Farm Bureau, is they don't provide enough business on a yearly basis for the railroads to make money. They use it on a very seasonal basis. They'll use it in July. They need it September and October. But rest of the year, they're not using the rail system. And the rail companies are looking for additional business to keep them in operation for an entire year. That's the problem with rail once you get off of the I-94 corridor.
Okay, what can be done for additional business? Is there anything?
I think we continue working with Governor Snyder's tax plan. We continue to encourage more business in the state of Michigan so that the rail lines are needed and there is a natural business necessity for them to be here.
Keep hearing that the road status of our state is just way behind. Not only do we need to fix some roads, but as far as the infrastructure itself, there are other states, there are other countries that have just been more proactive in updating the infrastructure. Where are we
with that?
There
are probably some other states that have been a little bit more proactive. If you look at our state trunk lines, we are in very good shape right now. Where Michigan hurts is the local road system. The cities, the townships are behind, and they don't get enough of the Act 51 money to really upkeep the roads. When I was mayor in DeWitt, we received about $50,000 a year for the entire city. So we had to put in, and it is a priority, and I think, you know, your previous guest talked about put your money where your mouth is. We put $250,000 to $300,000 a year of general fund money into the road system because it was an area that really needed improvement.
Where are we going to find money? Because we're pretty taxed out. And I know you don't want to ask taxpayers for more money. So where do we find more money
for
roads?
We're looking at a couple things. There's a 6% sales tax on gasoline. 4 cents goes to schools. A penny and a half goes to revenue sharing, and we have a half a penny that should be going to roads that does not. So we're going to be looking at moving some of that over. We call it the Priority Now package, and moving that to roads where it should be. We'll be looking at a couple other areas where we think we can find some money for roads. I think my goal is not to find $1.4 billion this year. I don't think that's practical. I don't think that's possible. But we are looking at finding that money over the next 4 or 5 years and getting it to the road system.
It sounds like Opsomer is optimistic about...
Oh, very optimistic. In fact, one thing we haven't talked about, Tony, is transit. Mm-hmm. And I've been impressed with how many Republicans and Democrats in the House have come up to me on the floor saying, I want to get involved in the governor's transit plan for Southeast Michigan, or I want to get involved in the funding formula for transit, something we do have to look at.
Well, I hear from what the challenge is with transit, and I don't have enough time to talk about this.
I can stay later.
All right, why don't we do that? Because the challenge is getting people on board. I grew up in New York, was raised in Detroit. I'm used to using mass transit. We'll talk about that more next, as a matter of fact.